And we're always excited to be here as we are again tonight. And I am Mama Mac, and I'm adjusting my microphone. There we go. And alongside me, as always, is the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. And how are you tonight, Doctor?
I am doing well. How are you?
Great. Excited about this show because we've been in a series that just kind of happened, as sometimes they're planned well in advance, and a lot of times they just happen. And this is one of those. And this is part three of Overcoming Shame. And I think it's really going to be a great show tonight.
Oh, I'm very excited, too. You know, shame can be a really challenging thing to talk about. A lot of us, we experience it, but we don't want to put words to it or acknowledge it. And so we're going to put a little flashlight on that thing.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people aren't even aware that that might be a cause for some of the issues that they're going through in life.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, Mama Mac, that, you know, it's kind of that hidden root to a lot of some of our struggles we might be having. And so we kind of look at the struggle as the problem.
Right.
But really down up under that struggle are the roots. And shame is a root.
It's a root, and it's a serious one. And I want you to amplify on that in just a moment. If you are new to our show, Go Yard, you can go to our website, goyard2014.org. Find us on Facebook, Go Yard 1340. And also, you can text in anytime, 24/7, 365, because the text comes directly to my phone, and we can get questions to Dr. Angel. We can use your questions on our question and answer show. We got one of those coming up again soon. And so, our Google text number is 727-888-4171. I'll give you that again, 727-888-4171. Some of you are rather wordy in your questions, and we're good with that, but you may want to use our email address instead of text for those longer questions. And that email address is goyard2014@gmail.com. So whatever method you want to contact us, we want to hear from you. And Dr. Angel, it's kind of fun to assemble these questions and then we usually do a Q&A show once every 3 months or so, don't we?
We have. We've been doing one a quarter, it kind of seems like.
Yeah.
And it is great. I love the questions that
come in. They're legitimate questions from our listeners.
They come in from the audience, and I love, you know, going through them and putting together and try to mix it up and keep it on lots of different topics so we can hit the things that you are going through in your life
today. Exactly. So go ahead and send those questions in and email them. Probably that's the best way. goyard2014@gmail.com. So we want to hear from you. And past shows, at the end of each month, our webmaster goes in here to tantalk1340.com, goes to podcasts and finds our Go Yard shows and puts them on our website, which is goyard2014.org. So there's a lot of ways to listen to past shows. If you've missed the first two of this series, we highly encourage you. And they are right here on the podcast here at the station, www.tantalk1340.com. Then go to podcasts and then go down to the Go Yard and they will be there. Open that up and you'll find the shows on shame that we did part one and part two. So let's go back to it. And I think, Doctor, just to refresh, because there might be some people that really didn't catch one and two, can you define what we're talking about and why this is such an important topic?
Oh, absolutely. So when we're talking about shame, shame is that painful emotion that's kind of caused by those feelings of guilt or feelings of shortcomings or improprieties. And so the difference between shame and guilt, because they're both those negative feelings.
Right.
There are those flags that something's wrong, something's
going
wrong.
That uneasy, yucky feeling, you know, that you get. Yeah.
Absolutely. So shame becomes I become that wrong thing. It's a self-identity. I become that negative feeling or that shortcoming or that negative emotion, whereas guilt is I'm feeling bad about this situation.
Okay, so shame says, all right, I've been all of this and it's been awful, and that's me. That's my identity. I am that lousy, awful, irresponsible, whatever person, right?
Absolutely.
Is that shame?
Shame is that, yes, it's that core identity of
identity.
Whatever.
Identity. That's the word that we need to emphasize, I think, that we take on an identity of shame. But doctor, I think if you ask a lot of people, and you are active in therapy all the time, so I don't mean for yourself. I mean for others. As you're talking to people in dealing with shame, do they recognize it at first, or is that something that's kind of a surprise? Like, what? Me? Shameful? Ugh.
No, it is actually something that they don't recognize. And we kind of, once I start seeing triggers in therapy, okay, I know what we're looking at. So then we kind of start uncovering it little
okay.
by little.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not a word we hear a lot.
Right. No, it is not a word
it's
we hear a lot.
It's definitely not something we talk about.
Right. Yeah.
But it's something a lot of people experience in some realm of their life. Some people will really experience it professionally.
Right.
Some people will experience it personally. Some will become whatever these negative things are. They could be things that people told them when they were little wee high.
Right.
And they've just ingrained that into that's their identity. I am
exactly.
bad. I am no good. I am stupid. I can't do this.
And unfortunately, some parental figures or parents or grandparents or whatever do shame children quite a bit. I mean, you see that in your practice, don't you?
True. I see it a lot. In fact, I've been teaching parenting classes all day because really want to train parents not do that. But there is an older generation that we didn't have a lot of this information.
Training,
so
yes.
These things weren't done purposefully. It was just kind of part of the culture that this generation, you know,
you're
previous generation.
You're a bad boy. Yeah.
And we're seeing what that has created in people and some
yes.
of the problems. So now we can kind of go back and educate people. But there is previous generations that's how we parented. We parented in shame-based parenting.
Exactly.
So we're trying to rewrite that in today's parents, which is awesome to see that momentum forward. But
right.
we still have a lot of people walking around who have been parented in shame-based parenting.
Right. So it is something to take a look at. And, okay, so we talked a lot about flags, the things that cause us to realize that we do have a problem. And because we're going to get to the answer on how to handle this in just a moment, we really need to, I think, review what those flags are that cause people to realize, whoa, I've got a problem.
Okay, yeah. So some of those things that, you know, shame is something that kind of develops slowly and over time. So some of those things that you might have a problem is, are you self-critical?
Okay.
Are you beating yourself up when you have a failure or shortcoming?
Right.
Are you working too much? Are you pushing too hard?
Okay.
Sometimes we have to do that. Life just makes us have to work harder. But if we're always doing it, there could be some shame under that.
Exactly.
Do you feel that need to compete? Like you always have to come out on top. You have to win. You're moving ahead. And sometimes you are like that cutthroat person that nobody wants
obnoxious, that person you don't want to play a board game
people
with.
People just don't want to
yeah.
engage. Or if
right.
you play them, you take them so seriously to where
right.
you're personally, your feelings are getting hurt.
And you stomp off and leave mad. And I've known people like that, haven't you?
Grown adults. I'm going to tell you what. I've played many games.
I know.
Monopoly boards go flying across the table.
I know.
But
yeah.
under that can be shame, so that competition, and just, do you have that sense of feeling that you are not good enough?
Right.
And that's really the core. There's a lot of shame-based thoughts, shame-based thinking, and they all pile up to, I'm not enough.
But the question really is, good enough by whose standards, right? Isn't that the question?
That's a great question, because there isn't a standard. There is this made-believe standard.
Right.
That changes all the time, and
right.
so it's not achievable. No human can really achieve what good enough is.
It's that competition with everybody else in the world, right? That a lot of people feel that they have to be competing all the time, and they're
which is they why they're constantly competing, because they're trying to measure up to this,
and they don't measure up. Yeah,
arbitrary good enough.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so we have that false, kind of a false identity, those that really struggle with shame, don't you think? They have a false?
We do. So when we struggle with shame, we have that ideal self, that who I should be.
Right.
And so we've created this image of who I think I should be. And it may be very unrealistic. We may not even really sat down and defined it, but we have it. We have that persona. That's that mask. That's who I'm letting you know I am, which is why I need to win and be highly competitive, because I need you to see me as successful and on top and all these positive things.
Right.
And then we have that critic self. That's that inner voice that's saying, oh, well, you're not really good enough.
You're really not all that.
You know, you're broken, you're damaged, right. You're not enough, you're ineffective, whatever that voice is telling us.
Exactly.
And then we have that core identity, which is our devalued self. And that's the part where we truly believe and see everything through, I'm not enough.
Yeah. And wow, dear audience member, if you are relating to some of this, then that's great that you're listening. And we really want you to take it another step further. That's what we want to talk about tonight, is taking this whole concept of shame-based thinking and behaving and overreacting, etc., and do something about it. Doctor, is it impossible to ever change this kind of a thought process or this kind of an identity? Is it possible to change your identity like this?
Absolutely, it's possible to change.
Okay.
Is it going to happen overnight? No.
Okay.
You didn't get here overnight?
Why not?
You got here in a series of events and series of voices, and voices might have come from other people, and now they're coming from yourself. And so we have to change those voices, and it takes time.
Yes.
And it's rewriting some of those thoughts and some of those voices into truths.
So, but first step is recognizing that this could be something I need to deal with, right? Is
absolutely.
Recognition, admission, whatever you want to call it?
Absolutely. We have to be able to acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
Yes, I am struggling with shame on some level. It doesn't mean you have to go around and hold the poster board and let everybody know that.
Right.
To acknowledge it just means I'm willing to say, oh, yeah, I think this is really where I'm struggling.
Right. Okay. And when we first acknowledge it, then this next step I would think would be, okay, I'm willing to deal with this. I'm willing to find out what's going on inside me. Right? What
and
makes me act like I act, right?
True, but that's where a lot of people get lost, because people will come into therapy and they can acknowledge, ooh, yeah, that's exactly what's going on in my world. Then the next step is, are you willing to do something about that? And that's scary.
Oh, absolutely, it's scary. Why? Why is it so scary for people? Once they've recognized a problem, you would think they want an answer. You go to the doctor for bronchitis, and the doctor says, yep, you have bronchitis. And he gives you an antibiotic, you're going to take it because you want to be relieved of the pain and the suffering of bronchitis. Why isn't it that way with emotional things, doctor, when it's pointed out? What is wrong with that?
Well, part of that is it's a lot of work.
Okay.
And they're afraid to what's under that. It's shame is a deep core identity. It's caused by some kind of deep core experiences or painful memories or things under there that aren't usually the most pleasant to look at and can be scary.
Okay. And sometimes those are things that have happened to that person.
Absolutely.
Molestation, whatever.
Things that have happened to
you. And so they don't want to go back and revisit it because it's painful, it's embarrassing, it's shameful.
Shame. It's scary.
It's scary.
It is scary. But, you know, bringing your doctor analogy up, you know, I know a lot of people, Mom and Mac, who go to the doctor and they have bronchitis and the doctor says, okay, 10 days of this pill and you'll get it.
And they'll take 2 or 3 days. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're
going to say. And then what happens? It comes back.
It does. I was married to a doctor for years, and that was one of his pet peeves in family medicine, was that then they'd come back 10 days later, 2 weeks later, and they were sicker or were as sick. Did you take your meds? Yeah, I did for a few days. You know, and that's, boy, that's a good point, doctor.
And that's kind of what happens emotionally with a lot of people. So they can say, yes, I do struggle here. Yes, I want to work on it. And then we start working. They get it feeling a little bit better. And then that's it. They're done with the work. And then that whole shame comes back through, because you have to rewrite it all. It's not just starting to feel that relief a little bit. It's learning to rewrite it so it's not coming back.
The rewriting has got to be complex, difficult. Talk to us about rewriting.
It's not super difficult. It just takes time.
And are you talking about 5 minutes? Or are you talking about several sessions? Or are you talking about things that you can do on your own? Can people do this on their own without seeing a therapist, right?
Absolutely. A lot of this you can do on your own. Some people do need the support of a therapist, and that's fine too. But it takes – every person's different. So I can't say, oh, well, 3 months of rewriting and you will be good. No, some people can rewrite more quickly than others. Some people it just depends on – how deep that shame really goes, mm-hmm. and how much work they're putting into it. But the more you do it, the more it's being rewritten. It's like learning a foreign language.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, some people pick it up more quickly and are able to assimilate words. Some people, it takes a long time to get to that point, but they can still do it. But if you're, you know, doing it one day and then you don't look at it for 3 weeks, you're not going to get it as to where you need to go.
So it needs to be something that's top of your mind awareness, you know, of I need to work on this today. What am I going to do today to work on my shame-based thinking?
And it doesn't even have to be quite that conscious, but it can be as simple as taking my shame-based thoughts that are not truth. Most of them are not written in truth. They're exaggerated lies, which we've talked about, or half-truths, which are still lies, and writing some truth. And, you know, I would work with patients, and we would take, like, those little sticky notes, post-it notes, and we would write their shame-based truth, but we would take it and put the truth. So, you know, I am smart. I am capable. I am. And we would, what I am, because shame is what you are, but we would take those negatives and reading those and putting them on their mirrors or, you know, infiltrating some of their hotspot worlds with that, help them to rewrite that shame-based thinking.
So what you're talking about is affirmations.
Absolutely.
So can you define that? Because I've used affirmations in my own life for years, and especially in business, you know, it really helps. I've gone to seminars in real estate where they teach you, you know, you go into the listing appointment with the attitude that you're going to walk away with it. Yeah, sometimes you don't. But it's the attitude you walk in with, the confidence.
Right, that you're exuding. And that's the same thing. So an affirmation is a positive, truthful statement.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you're looking at what I feel I'm not good enough at, or I'm not enough, or whatever the shame-based lie and thought you're believing, and find the truth.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if you even just do as simple as writing truths and having people help you find some of the truths. Because, you know, when you get so buried in shame-based, you really can't even see
your value. Yeah.
And, you know, I am valuable. You know, I'm trustworthy. I'm a good friend. I'm loyal. I'm whatever. And writing them, sticking them on post-it notes, putting them around your mirror, having a quote book. We've used a lot of these kinds of resources, and they have really helped people start rewriting.
Oh, absolutely. And the first session that we did on shame 2 weeks ago, you at the end said, I'm coming back to what you said. Homework for our listeners, make a list of your strengths and what your value or your worth. And you want to comment on that and what that means, a list of your strengths? And is this in just all kinds of other areas of our lives? I mean, it doesn't have to be just your job or anything like that.
It could be in any area of our life. You know, a lot of us, I don't even think we realize what our strengths are.
Right.
And it's so amazing when, you know, I'm a strength-based therapist. So when I'm working with clients...
You are a strength-based therapist.
I am.
So I've never heard you define yourself as that in this year and a half that we've been on this show. But I love that, a strength-based therapist. So please amplify on that, since that's who you are.
Well, yeah, I will. Well, what happens is when I have a patient and they come in, the first thing I'm looking for the entire time we're in session is I'm looking for where your strengths are.
Okay.
As I hear you telling me what's going on, and they're usually unloading problem after problem or shortcoming after shortcoming, I'm finding strengths all in there, and I'm making lists, and I'm giving it back. Well, let me tell you what I see. I see a strong woman. I see someone who's been overcoming. I see someone who's persevering, and their eyes just are like, what do you mean you see all that? Didn't you hear all this bad stuff? And I'm like, but let me tell you how I see that. And just hearing that back at them is amazing to see what happens to people. A lot of times you'll get therapists who are looking for the problem.
Right.
And they're, you know, fine, well, tell me everything wrong so we can diagnose it and deal with the problem. But if we find people's strengths and highlight them, we can use those strengths to help them overcome their problems.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And that's really what this show is all about and has been for a year and a half. We're trying to help people hit home runs, not saying, boy, they struck out 506 times this year, you know, whatever.
Exactly. But to say, hey, you know what? They got to second base three times, and that's more than last year. That's amazing.
That is. Exactly. And that's the way to do it. So, strength-based therapy. Okay, so for the person who says, you know, I'm not a therapist. I mean, I can't go to one. I don't have the money, whatever. How do they begin to find their strengths if they don't know what to look for?
Well, if they can't find them in themselves.
Let's say they can't.
Find close friends and family that you trust.
Okay.
Ask them, what do you think I'm strong at? What do you think I'm good at? What do you think I do well? Hear what they have to say and accept it. Don't counterbalance, oh, no, that can't be right, or, oh, no, you're wrong. Hear it. Don't make a comment. Thank you. And hear what they have to say. Take notes. Write them down.
I remember last week you said that a lot of people that are are struggling with shame-based thinking have a hard time accepting compliments.
They do.
Okay.
And usually when you hit them up with a compliment, they have some kind of negative devaluation of themselves that come right back at you. Oh, you know, if I say, oh, you look really nice in that outfit today. Oh, well, I'm really fat, or I'm gained 10 pounds. No.
Yeah.
That's shame-based. How about thank you?
Yeah, right.
And so that's what we're working on with people. So if you can't take a compliment, there's shame under that usually.
Right.
And so find some people you trust.
Right.
Ask them, what do you think my strengths are? What do you see? Even if you can only find two or three, that's two or three strengths you couldn't find.
Right.
And that's enough
right.
to build.
Exactly. And start building on those, right? And maybe trying your best to grow those strengths, right?
We do. We want to make our strengths stronger.
Right.
Because those are the things that are going to give us the power to overcome these difficult things.
Right.
May it be shame, may it be guilt, may it be a difficult past. Those strengths are what we can use as really good tools in our tool belt.
Wow. We've got more to talk about on what you can do to overcome shame in the second half of this show. Call a friend, have them tune in to Go Yard.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Love that. And it just really talks about what we're talking about. You are tuned in to Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. And I like to give your credentials probably almost every week, doctor. And the reason I do is that we're not just two people sitting here yakking, you know. I mean, you come from years of experience in doing therapy with people that that face the things we talk about. I have years of ministry counseling and business and real estate, and together, you know, we just have a good back and forth here about this. And our goal is always to help our listeners, you know, hit a home run. And we want to remind you that our Thursday night Go Yard shows, which is this, air live at 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night, and also on the weekend, Starcom Radio Network. That's four words. Write them down. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. This show will air at noon Eastern this Saturday and Sunday. So there's a lot of ways you can hear the show besides our website, besides the website here at Tantalk 1340. You can tell a friend and say, hey, you need to hang on and listen to this on noon Eastern, Saturday, Sunday, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words. Now, if you want to text in and text a comment or anything, we'd love to hear from you. And that text number is 727-888-4171. 4171. All right, Dr. Angel, we are in the wrap-up last segment on this three-part series on shame. When we decided to do this, Overcoming Shame, we didn't know if it was one show or two shows. And
it has turned into three, and that's okay.
And it has turned into three shows.
So really we want to focus on that overcoming
Absolutely.
Shame. And
Let's
we've given a few of those things. First, we need to acknowledge it. Second enough, we need to be willing. Third enough, we need to start replacing shame-based thoughts with the truth.
Okay.
And those positive. We talked about the affirmations, and that's going to start changing our thinking process.
Right.
So the next step is going to be self-compassion.
Self-compassion. What is compassion to begin with? You want to define that?
Compassion is having kind of an empathy. It is where you realize it's having true feelings for something and feeling it.
All right.
So looking at yourself and saying, we're a lot of times, especially shame-based people, we're hard on ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're so compassionate towards other people.
Right.
You know, oh my goodness, you know, that must really be difficult for you. Or, wow, you know. But then we look at ourselves and we have zero compassion.
Towards ourselves,
right. We don't give ourselves any breaks.
Right. In the ministry, I like to define compassion as seeing a need. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also having a desire to alleviate that need. I think it's a two-pronged thing. It's not enough just to say, oh, yeah, look at that person. They're really suffering. But also want to hear them, talk to them, help them.
Exactly.
They need $10. Give them $10, whatever the case may be. I mean, it's not just awareness of the need, but I think compassion is also a desire to alleviate the need.
And so I love that. That's a great definition because self-compassion is for us.
Yes.
I have a need, and how can I alleviate that? That might mean I need to go out with a friend, or that might mean I need to take a break, or that might mean a lot of things for ourselves, and every individual's different, and so that becomes part of our self-care.
Right.
Give yourself a break.
But so many people don't take good care of themselves, physically, emotionally, especially emotionally, you know, with what they eat, all of that. You know, I think that's a problem in our society. I mean, we talk more about, I mean, you know, think about it. Fitness centers and gyms, they're huge. But a lot of times people can work on the physical body, but they don't deal with the emotional self very, very well.
You're right. We neglect our emotional care. And so what happens when a lot of people do not have self-compassion, and it's because they don't believe they deserve it.
That's right.
When I'm shame-based, I'm not good enough, so I really don't deserve good things, and I don't deserve anybody else to give me a break. I don't deserve a break. I'm this horrid person.
Yeah.
And no, that's not true. You are not.
Right.
So stop that and go back over your thinking. But self-compassion, you do deserve it. You need to be taken care of. You need to take care of yourself. You need to have healthy people in your life and foster growth and time and breaks and all those things that other people need. Guess what? You do too.
Yeah.
You may need help.
Right.
And sometimes we need to say, I need help.
Yeah.
And using our words. And I know when we're training little ones.
Using our words.
You know,
there we are with that concept.
That's our number
again.
One line with the little ones when we're working. You know, use your words. Tell us what you want and you need, you know, because they'll start whining and crying and you have to guess what a little one needs.
Right.
Well, adults do that too.
Right.
They may not be whining and crying. They may be running themselves dry into the ground trying to do everything for themselves.
Exactly.
But there is probably people in your life who are willing to help when you have a need. You just got to let them know.
Right. Absolutely. And so if you just carry it and stuff it and don't talk about it, it does not just go away and get better, does it, Doctor?
It does not. The people around us really can't read your mind, and they don't know what you need. People don't know what you need until you tell them.
Exactly.
And so being willing to say, I do need help.
Right. Sometimes it's just a listening ear, isn't it? Somebody just to bounce things off of and,
it is.
You know?
Sometimes it's just somebody to pick up the other line on the phone and just let you kind of get it out and talk about what's going on. Sometimes it's just somebody to be next to you.
Exactly.
It can be simple. It can be more complex. But self-compassion. So one of the things I challenge people who struggle with self-compassion is if this was your best friend that was telling me all these things, what advice would you give her? And usually they're like,
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Oh, I would tell her she needs to, you know, do this and, you know, okay. So if it's good enough for your best friend, it's good enough for you.
That's right.
You just have great advice.
But do patients then say, that's different.
I hear that. Well, I don't deserve it.
Because I've heard that in counseling sessions. But, that didn't apply to me. I mean, I understand that, but.
And then we process that because that is that devalued feeling of worth. And that's usually what's holding people back from being compassionate on themselves.
Right.
Because a lot of people are very full of compassion when it comes to others.
Right.
But not when it comes to themselves.
Yeah. And so ways to show ourselves compassion, Doctor. One of the things that comes to my mind is give yourself some time off from work, from your phone, from your device, whatever. Unplug, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's very hard for me to do in my jobs, but I will tell you, I know it is important to do that. You know, don't take calls after 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night or whatever. Start unwinding. You've talked about that on this show before, about the reason some people, we're not saying everyone, wake up in the middle of the night and then they can't go back to sleep. Or they can't get to sleep is because
they're just not turning things off. And so when I work, I train therapists too as part of my job. And one of the things first lesson 101 is you need to set your schedule of when you're willing and not willing to accept calls, work, whatever that is. And you need to abide by that for yourself.
Exactly.
And you should be able to have large chunks of time where you aren't doing work or you aren't, you know, whatever it is that's kind of sucking you in. That's self-compassion.
Vacation. I mean, you know, we think of vacations as going, when my kids were little, vacations, going to Disney World or this kind of thing. Now, to me, the ideal vacation is to sit on a beach with a friend or by myself or, you know, just relaxing, unwinding, just letting go, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, the staycations, kind of what you're talking about, are really, it's just taking a break from that normal, mundane, everyday thing that's happening and unplugging and letting your mind rest, letting your body rest. Those, we need those.
Don't you think a change of scenery, location, and I'm all for staycations. I do it all the time. But, I mean, you don't have to drive 200 miles to have a change of scenery. You can drive 5 miles to the beach in where we live here in Clearwater, Florida. I mean, we're so close to water. I drive by water to get here to the station.
I know. I drive by it to go to the grocery store.
I know. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. We're blessed like that. But some people don't have that. But some people live in the mountains. Some people live in other areas. But that change of scenery, even if it's only 5 miles away.
Absolutely. It helps. And do what you can do. And even if you can only take out a day break, a day is better than none.
Right.
A few hours is better than none.
Exactly.
Some people, I hear them, they give me, I just can't take that long. I have too much going on. And so they don't do it at all. And I'm like, a little bit's better than none.
Right.
And as you do it, you learn how much you needed it, that you start being able to fit it in. Personally, this was a struggle I really had in my life. Being able to shut everybody down.
Well, I bet you do, or did, and still do, because you are one of the most accomplished people that I've ever known at your age and everything that you've done. And and raising 3 cents at the same time. You're amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it was a struggle. And I had, for me to shut down, I literally had to go on a cruise where I wouldn't pay for my cell phone to be on because it was a lot of money extra. And I wasn't willing to pay extra to do that.
Right.
And I literally made myself shut down. Now, after doing that, that was many years ago. Now I can shut it down on the weekends.
Right.
You know, and I have a feature on my phone where I have everybody that's work related going into a contact list, and I can shut the work calls off and only get personal calls when I want to.
Oh, that's cool.
And those are the things we need to be able to do. And I can shut it down when I enjoy, you know, and people are like, well, I've been trying to text you all weekend long and you didn't answer. Well, you know what? I took a break.
Right.
It's not my leash. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I'm not 911 and I need a break too.
There you go.
And so we need to be able to do
that. That's self-compassion.
That's self-compassion.
That's being kind to yourself.
It is. And self-kindness is part of self-compassion.
What's the difference, is there?
Well, when we're kind to ourselves, we are being warm to ourselves. You know, we are not judging our failures or our shortcomings as hard. It's okay. You know what? I'm human. It's understanding I'm a part of that human. You know, when other people make a mistake, a lot of times we're like, you know, well, they tried or they did their best. Well, we don't see that in ourselves.
Right.
And so that self-kindness cultivates self-compassion. When
right.
I can say, yeah, I gave it a good shot. I did what I could do. Unfortunately, it didn't work out the way we thought. But it's
right.
okay.
Exactly.
I know I did a good job. And if that's self-kindness, is giving yourself those breaks
right.
to allow things not to work
right.
perfect.
Yeah. And it's hard to do for a lot of people, Doctor, that absolutely feel like the show can't go on, or you know what I mean? Their job can't go on, or their life can't go on if they unplug or take a break. You know, it's a common problem in our society now.
You're correct in electronics, and I know we talk about it a lot, but it has definitely created a culture that's very challenging to unplug from.
Right.
The truth is we need to unplug more.
Right.
Because we are so plugged in all the time, and
right.
jobs are almost 24/7 these days because of, you know, emails and texts and all
they so are.
Electronic communication.
I cannot tell you the number of times I'm working on a contract at 10 o'clock at night, and it's like, there's no boundaries with realtors, you know, that's who we are, you know, and we want to be available to our clients. So we are continually Johnny on the spot answering the phone or returning the text and everything. But it does exhaust you after a while. It does me to know
yes.
that, you know, especially I had one of those days yesterday where the phone just absolutely would not stop ringing. And it's okay. I mean, I love it for business, but it's just like, you can't get a break. You can't even sit down for lunch for a few minutes without.
And it gets very challenging. And in sales jobs, you're right. It's really
just hard
to be able to do that.
Right.
And so, but you still need to be able to do that. And if that
right.
just means, hey, you know what? I'm just going to put it on silent for a couple hours and go down to the beach and just chill or whatever that is.
Right.
It's having that ability to be able to do that and making ourselves do that.
And being aware that we need to do that. I mean,
yeah.
Because a lot of times we get to that, I've got a new puppy right now, okay? And she is like 8 weeks old, and her name is CJ, and she's wonderful, and she's a little black and tan miniature dachshund, and I love her to pieces. But, you know, they have needs right then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But watching her and seeing how busy she is, but then she has to rest, and then she's busy again, you know? And taking care of her because I want to take care of her because she's mine, you know, and all of that. And so a lot of times, I guess the point I'm getting to is a lot of times we take care of our animals. We love our animals. We take care of them better, our children, whatever, than we do ourselves.
We do. And that's
you know,
what we have
that's
to
That's my point I'm trying to make.
It's a great point.
Know?
And we have to kind of start turning that around and taking care of ourselves as well as
Absolutely.
We take care of others.
Yeah.
You know, and I think doing that is having that self-kindness, doing that is unplugging ourselves a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, a generation ago when we had phones that connected to walls and people called you and you didn't answer, they just assumed you weren't home or you're busy. And it wasn't a personal deal. Now with cell phones, if you don't answer someone's call, they think you're mad at them or it's personally.
I was just getting ready to say that has changed that dynamic tremendously. From that kind of stationary phone, we got to voice messages. I mean, we got to... Yeah, we got to answering machines, and then we got to voicemail on our phones, and, you know, whatever, and it's escalated. But some people are extremely sensitive if they don't get a return text call within just a few minutes. It's like, what's wrong?
Absolutely. And so kind of retraining some of the people in their lives and just reassuring, no, you're important to me, but, you know, I need a little break. And I have to tell people that all the time.
Do you?
Because they do take it personally.
Do you tell your therapist that? I mean, do they understand that you're not 24/7?
Yes. They know they can call me till 9 o'clock at night. And if they call after, it's going straight to voicemail and I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Right.
And that's just how it works. I stay available to them, you know, while I know they're out in the field and could have an emergency. But if they're out later than 9.
They shouldn't even be out later
than 9. They shouldn't be out later than 9. So I unplug, and that's just how I roll. And, you know, the only people I keep my phone available really 24/7 to are my children.
Yeah.
Because I'm responsible for making sure they're safe and happy and healthy. And so I do keep those numbers open. But there's even times where I know when they're safe and somewhere, I'm turning everybody down.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. And that's part of self-compassion.
Wow. Okay.
Self-kindness. And then we really need to realize our humanity.
Our humanity. You want to explain that?
We are finite beings.
Which means?
Which means we are not perfect.
Oh, we're not perfect. Oh, you mean we can't become perfect, Dr. Angel? I mean, come on. So many people strive for that, and they get all bent out of shape when their world is upset or their schedule is upset.
We have inadequacy, and they do. And, you know, the thing is they get it for other people. They don't get it for them. And they feel like, you know, I have to do this right, or I don't understand, you know. And they feel like they're all alone in this experience of being human.
Right.
But they're not. You know, there's billions of us out there on this planet, and we all have shortcomings. We have limited time, limited energy. That's what makes us finite beings.
Right.
We have a limited amount of time we get to live. We have limits all over our lives.
I like that concept. I like that, because that's right on. And when we start to realize that, yeah, very good.
I can see your light going on.
It did, and I'll tell you why. Because I come back to my baby puppy this week, because brought her home last Thursday night, and fortunately, my son and his wife, Mark and Candy, were there for a week to help with her and just visit and whatever. But, you know, of course, I'm the mama, so I did the night shift, you know, and it was every hour and a half or every 2 hours, you know, getting up, taking her out, getting her up, you know, and she was waking up crying and all that kind of thing. And then, and after about a day and a half of that, I was really tired. I mean, I realized, you know, if you're up every 2 hours, you don't get into that REM sleep, and you don't get into the rest that you really need. And I mean, you know that feeling in your eyes when it feels like there's sandpaper in them, you know, mm-hmm. where you haven't slept and all that. And so, you know, we began to talk about it and say, how are we going to make some changes to make this a little, you know, wear her out before it's time to go to bed. Last night she went 5 hours in a stretch.
Wow.
That's really
nice.
Good. So, but I mean, again, you don't realize I can't just go on no energy. I just can't go on no sleep. I just can't. None of us can.
And I can't tell you, one of the things I think I try to remind people, I have to do it over and over, is you can't give what you do not have.
Wow.
And so we have to take those times and fill us back up, because our bodies will shut it down on us when we don't voluntarily shut down and take those
times
exactly
for ourselves. Right. It happens spiritually.
Yeah.
It happens physically, emotionally. And if we're not giving time towards ourselves and towards our own
finite needs.
Yeah.
We are finite.
We need rest. We need water. We need food.
We need all these things. And so we need to take that time. That's part of self-compassion.
It sure is. Yeah.
And a big part of self-compassion is mindfulness. And what I mean by that is understanding, being mindful of negative feelings, negative emotions. We're not suppressing them. We're not like burying them so they don't exist.
Right.
We're acknowledging them, but we're also not exaggerating them and making them the core of our identity.
Okay. So a term that I've been hearing a lot the last few years is owning it.
Owning it.
You want to talk about owning it?
Because owning it without putting all the clothes of it on, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I do know what you're saying, but I think you should explain what that means, owning it, because some people may not be familiar with that term, but I hear it all the time now. But
well, when I'm having negative feelings, maybe I'm feeling angry or maybe I'm feeling jealous, I can say, ooh, I'm feeling that way towards this situation.
Okay.
That's owning it.
All right.
You know, saying, I don't,
instead of burying
it. I'm telling the whole world I'm feeling this way.
I mean,
just say it to me.
Yeah.
But it's acknowledging it. That's owning it.
Okay.
I have that feeling right now in this moment. Putting the clothes on of it just means that you wear it where the whole world's seeing everything that's going on, you know, and you can look, there's some people, you look at them and
you know,
it's all over their Facebook, it's all over, you know, that's all they are talking about.
They're feeling sorry for themselves and pity parties and all kinds of stuff like that.
That's the exaggerated.
Okay.
So some people will exaggerate their negative feelings and they're negative people. Nobody wants to be around them.
Right.
You know, there's a therapist in the office who tends to be more negative, and it's a struggle because negative views, it's really hard. You're not attracted to negativity.
Oh, absolutely.
So it can be very challenging to want to be around this person.
Do you remember Saturday Night Live's the skit a long time ago, Debbie Downer?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Debbie Downer. She was always, you know, they would be a group of people sitting around the table and they're talking about something. And then she would take it to the negative most, you know, and then they would go, wah, wah, you know, that thing. It was so cute. Debbie Downer, that gives you a real good idea because everybody else is having a good time. And then she just, you know,
can
takes
ruin
it
the
down.
Moment.
Ruin
that's
the moment. Some people can do that.
Yes, they can.
Debbie Downers. Yeah, they can do that.
They can, and it's effective, and it's hard, and it's hard to be around that, and so we don't want to be that.
Right.
And so when we're going through a difficult time, that doesn't mean we are wearing all the clothes of these negative feelings and letting everybody in our world know what's going on and who offended us and why we're upset.
But I got to bring it back again, Doctor. It's Facebook.
Social media.
I'm on Facebook myself, and I appreciate the value of it. I really do. Connecting with friends and family and just pictures of my little dog this week, whatever. You know, it has its value. But it also has its problems, right?
And you will see exaggerated negative feelings all over Facebook or other social media
platforms.
Yeah,
other social. Yeah.
And then we have the people who suppress those negative feelings. They just act like they don't have them.
Right.
If I don't have them, I don't have to deal with them. They don't exist.
Right.
I will remember working with a group of people years ago. Their counseling mantra was fake it till you make it. And I have to tell you, I hate it.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why I hate it.
Because fake it till you make it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, they're just like, oh, well, if you're not happy, just fake it. You'll get there. You'll make it. You know, fake it till you make it. It's not going to work.
No.
That's kind of that suppression of what's really going on.
Right.
We're not
sure
acknowledging.
It is.
Yeah. I'm angry. You can be angry.
Right.
Faking you're happy isn't dealing with the fact that you're angry.
That's right.
Or that you're hurt or that whatever that negative thing is.
Right.
And so we want to be authentic, which is real.
Yes. Love that word, authentic. Yes.
It's all about authenticity. And
yes,
that means I am going to experience negative things.
Right.
And
that's life. That's life.
Pretending I don't, because it doesn't make me weak. It makes you human.
Yeah, it makes you human.
Unfortunately, there's schools of thoughts out there. A lot of times they can be found within religious groups of people who believe if you're having negative feelings, you're weak, you're not trusting God enough, you're not spiritual, you're not, you know, all these, you're not, you know what? We're human. And as part of human, you might feel angry, you might feel jealous, you might feel tired. You're going to feel these negative things.
Exactly.
So instead of pretending you don't, let's just put it on the table.
Own it.
I do. Own it. And now what can we do about that?
Right.
How can we get through this?
And set about to make the changes that need to be made. But again, you're talking about being mindful that you have stuff going on the inside of you. And not just, you know, denial, you know?
Absolutely. And that being mindful, it's part of being balanced.
Right. But denial can just absolutely take all that mindfulness away from you, don't you
Absolutely.
Think?
When you are in denying, it is going to cause physical harm to your body the
it
more
is.
You suppress. And then if you're over-exaggerating and always expressing it, you're ruining a lot of relationships and you're not moving forward. Either way, you can't move forward.
Right.
If that's all you talk about or if you pretend like it doesn't exist, you're not going to grow forward.
in denial, don't you think physical and emotional things result from being just denying the situation, denying the facts? I've known people, I'm sure you have too, that they knew that their spouse, their mate was cheating on them, but they liked their financial comfort better, or they liked their status in the neighborhood or whatever, and, you know, whatever the case may be. And just head in the sand concept. You know, I'm just not going to, if I don't look at it, it doesn't happen. If I don't acknowledge it, it's not real.
It doesn't exist. Right.
Right?
It's there.
But it is there. And so when in this whole thing about shame, if we don't look at our feelings when we're feeling them, say, okay, what is that I'm feeling right now? What just happened? What's wrong? And become mindful, right? That's what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Just become mindful. For our listeners out there that have never practiced mindfulness, do you have any suggestions, Dr.
Angel?
That
will be a whole show, Mama Mac. But
well,
being
maybe
mindful
we should.
Is about being present and in the moment.
Right.
Absolutely. It can be probably more than one show, but
right.
It is something we need. And that's one of the things of being mindful is recognizing what I'm going through. I'm not going to swim in the pool of all this negativity or all this stuff.
Right.
But I'm going to recognize it, and then we can move forward.
Right. Exactly.
And it's a balance.
It's a balance. Wow. Audience, we want to invite you to become involved with our Go Yard family. We are loving doing this show, as you can probably tell from Dr. Angel and from me. And it has been since September 2014, and here we are in the spring of 2016, and always excited to come in here. I am. I know you are. We can't hardly, it doesn't matter how busy our days are in our other jobs. Coming into the studio is an exciting event for us, and we put it all out there, you know? And
we
it's
do.
Fun.
I find this so energizing.
Well, as we're talking about these things, Doctor, and from our years of experience, et cetera, it reminds us of these concepts too.
Absolutely.
And so maybe we're a little more self-aware or more mindful of things.
Absolutely.
But we invite you to send your questions in to Dr. Angel, and you do that by email, goyard2014@gmail.com, or text 727-888-4171. And remember, every Saturday and Sunday at noon Eastern, you can hear these shows. And that is StarComRadioNetwork.com. Four words, StarComRadioNetwork.com. So we invite you to get involved. And we're not sure what our next topic will be, but it'll be great. And we know that, right?
Yes, it will.
So, all right. It's been great. Do you have a final word, Doctor?
Let's work through that shame and let's start cultivating self-compassion.
There you go. Okay. We'll see you next week. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard. And we've had a great time. We hope you have. Talk to you next week.
Goodbye. Goodbye.